Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our number two of our broadcast, and we've got some callers who have been very patiently holding on the line. Let's go first out to Matthews with Mark. Good morning, Mark.
You hear me?
Yes, sir. You're all there.
Okay. Yeah. Mark Rieger and Matthews. A quick aside, the jackscrew thing took down an Alaskan airline.
Right. We mentioned that in the previous hour. Yes.
Yeah, okay, someone talked about that, okay. I was mentioning it because it was a different manufacturer. That was McDonnell Douglas instead of Boeing. If you were privileged to see the AOC display of interrogation against the banking president, it was interesting that she really held them accountable strictly because they made loans to various companies. So that's a pretty deep hole right there, too, that for all banks or anybody lending money, you can be held accountable at that level.
How dare you lend people money? That's an awful thing, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Not that it's anything foundational with our system.
It's kind of scary, isn't it? And I'm sure, I appreciate your call there, Mark. These banking people had to really bite their tongues, I'm sure. I mean, wouldn't you want, if you're sitting there listening to this moron, wouldn't you want to call her out? And think about it. What can they actually do to her? See, I'd love to, it would not be good for me to be one of the people testifying before one of these committees. It would be really bad because I would really tell them, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Why don't you just shut up and stay in your lane? Seriously, how many times have you wanted somebody to say that? You're providing oversight, and you don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, it's downright scary. Let's go out to Doug in Charlotte. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. I trust you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
I have a fairly good idea of what happened regarding why it was going in vertical waves and ended up into a dive. And let me preface the explanation by saying I have flown the space shuttle in a simulator, and I crashed it 3 times in a row. So I think I have a good idea of what went on here. Most of these planes now are very heavily, if not totally, computer-controlled when they're in flight. And if there is a glitch in the system that the plane feels it may be traveling a little bit too slow, it's going to indicate it's gone into a stall. So in order to gain speed, it's going to dive down
right
and pick up speed. Much like when we were kids, we used to get those little balsa wood gliders and throw them. They'd go down, they'd get speed, they'd curve up. They'd go down, get speed, and curve up. So if the computer was malfunctioning and indicating that it was constantly in a stall, it would initially start out going in waves like that. And when that didn't work, it would try to gain even more speed by continuing the dive until it ultimately crashed into the ground. And that's what I did in the space shuttle. You see, in very large airliners, and in the case of the space shuttle, it's not like a small plane where you move the stick and it's instantaneous. You move it a little bit, it does nothing. You move it again, it does nothing. You move it a third time, then the first one starts to catch up. You go to counteract that, and you end up every time nosediving straight into the ground, which is what I did with the space shuttle 3 times in a row, and it almost looks like that's what this plane did. So my guess here, and I may very well be proven wrong, I'm going to guess that there was a computer malfunction, a computer glitch, where it was misinterpreting the airspeed, and the plane went into a series of stalls and ended up crashing.
Here's my question. I don't know if you heard the conversation I had with Greg Feith earlier in the week.
I did not, sir.
Talking about the automation. One of the points he was making is here in the United States, it is much more A situation where pilots are trained to hand fly planes and to be less dependent on automation. Here's my question. Can you just shut that automation off? Can you shut these safety features off?
Well, normally, yes, you can in an emergency situation. But my understanding is that one of the computer malfunctions in the 737 MAX 8 and 9 is that you cannot disengage it sometimes. There have been several reports over the past couple of years where pilots have reported that they could not disengage that computer. So if that's the case and you had this computer errantly changing the airspeed and the pilot could not disengage, I mean, all they could do was just pretty much put their hand over their heart and just pray to God as they crashed into the ground.
My goodness. That's pretty scary stuff. I appreciate your call there, Doug. And we've got someone else wanting to discuss this in the North Carolina Mountains. Grant, good morning.
How you doing, Vince?
All right, sir.
Yes, I want to talk about, you know, just talking about this pilot malfunctions that are going on. You can kind of relate it to cruise control, I would imagine. I mean, it's the same principles, right, with the computer chips in the cars after, you know, I've had a lot of problems with Chevys after, I think, probably 2004 with the computer chips seems to be a problem.
Okay.
And so, I mean, there's been two planes going down, what, Ethiopia and Australia, if I'm correct, right?
Well, the most recent was Ethiopian Airlines. That's the one that happened on Sunday.
Yes, and then there's been one more, correct?
Yes, that was several months ago.
Okay, and then there was one a few years ago when the plane disappeared, right? Like, did they ever find that plane? They thought they found the wreckage in the ocean later on?
I think there's one still missing that has not been accounted for.
Yes, I think this is the same plane we're talking about here.
Right, and that is not a 737 MAX. I want to make that very clear.
Okay, so that's not a Boeing.
I am not sure. I do not recall what that one is. But what is your question about these incidents, sir?
I mean, my main question is, if cars, when you have cruise control, you know, and you're in traffic, and you start getting close to the car, you just hit a button and your cruise control goes off and you start pushing the pedal. Because when you're on cruise control, you kind of relax.
Right.
I mean, you can do other things while you're driving, I kind of feel. But then when it starts getting a little hairy, you hit the button and you take back control. I don't understand what the difference is between that and the pilot.
You know, it's
override the system.
It's kind of interesting you mentioned this, Grant, because I noticed this a few months ago. I don't know where it was I went, but I was driving in another city, somewhere I had flown to, and I was in a rental car. And I noticed that I had the cruise control set, but the speed was actually dropping. And I thought, what in the world's going on? I realized there's a collision control feature in this car, and it detects when another car, you're getting too close, and it started slowing down. And I realized that's what was going on. It kind of creeped me out at first. But John does not like that at all. Huh? You don't like that. Why not?
It's unnecessary. That should be your own control.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's a big brother.
It is kind of big brother-ish, isn't it? I thought that was kind of an interesting feature. But, and again, not knowing that this was there, it was a little disconcerting at first. Quite disconcerting. Any case, coming up, we will talk about the college scandal. Some repercussions, believe it or not. And the DOJ. Had a special agreement with Clinton lawyers? Surely not. Back on the broadcast here, getting your thoughts here about aviation, driving cars. I was describing that feature that apparently avoids collisions. That cruise control feature is awesome. You don't have to keep turning on and off because of the idiots that insist on driving slow in the passing lane. Yes, that's part of what I was dealing with. I was, now that I think about it, I think I was in Kentucky. And I remember being on one of the major roads there, New Circle Road, and I had somebody in front of me. It was set on 60. And I noticed it was going back. 50, 55. It's like, what in the world's going on here? Then I figured it out. Oh, well. Vince, I can only assume the Boeing software engineers have written a backdoor into the control software. If so, could someone hack the system and take control of the aircraft? God forbid. Whoa. Another person mentioning the 19 UN officials on the plane and suspecting this was a hit. I don't think so. I certainly hope not. Earlier in the week, we talked to you about this college scandal and the consequences are continuing to be revealed. Lori Loughlin's daughters, influencer Olivia Jade and Isabella, will reportedly not be returning to the University of Southern California for fear of bullying. You think? This is after their parents were indicted and accused of paying to secure their admission. TMZ reports the 19 and 20-year-old students have made the decision to withdraw from the school with the full support of their parents. Sources told the website Olivia was a mess, despondent. Feels like her situation is the end of the world, according to the indictment. The father allegedly paid $500,000 to have his daughters admitted to USC as crew team recruits, even though they never played the sport. Olivia also lost her Sephora partnership deal in the fallout of the scandal. Hair care brand. How is this thing pronounced? Tresemme? Is this how this thing is pronounced?
That would be Tresemme.
Tresemme?
Yes.
Confirmed to the Daily Beast, it's no longer working with Olivia. You want to talk about costly? I mean, this is a big deal, isn't it? Yeah. Do you know how much they were paying her? Do you have any idea?
I bet it was sizable.
My goodness. You know what? You know what also frustrates me about this? Think of this. Here, this guy, who is, by the way, a designer. Loughlin was married to a designer, and it's the husband who paid $500,000. Think about this. Couldn't you just give your daughters seed money to start their own business?
Eliminate the middleman.
$500,000 rather than to go to a school? I don't get it. This is absolutely mind-boggling. Also, fashion brand Too Faced, which previously had a social media partnership with Olivia, also said they had no plans to work with her again. Wow. Talk about consequences coming in, huh? Consequences. How many of you are quite ticked off about this particular story? Speaking of being ticked off, this will definitely get some people worked up. I saw Trey Gowdy talking about this yesterday. The DOJ worked out an agreement with Clinton lawyers to block FBI access to Clinton Foundation emails. This agreement was worked out with Hillary Clinton's legal team. It ensured the FBI did not have access to emails on her private servers relating to the Clinton Foundation. This is what was learned in testimony from Peter Strzok during a closed-door appearance before the House Judiciary Committee last summer. Republicans late last year renewed their efforts to probe the Clinton Foundation after tax documents showed a plunge in its incoming donations after Clinton's 2016 presidential election. These numbers fueled longstanding allegations of possible pay-to-play transactions. No, surely not. Were you given access to Clinton Foundation emails as part of the investigations? We were not. We did not have access. My recollection, Strzok said, is the access to those emails were based on consent negotiated between the Department of Justice attorneys and counsel for Clinton. Really? So let me get this straight. So you raid the office of Clinton's personal lawyer. But here you have a situation where a woman essentially compromised, I think the argument could clearly be made, compromised national security. And you didn't seize these emails? You negotiated a deal. So let me get this straight. One person's a government official, and you get permission, and you work out a deal. The other person is a private lawyer, and you seize the records. What's wrong with this picture? Sounds rather fishy to me. And I think a lot of you would probably agree. Eventually, the FBI took possession of the servers. Possession was based upon the negotiation of Department of Justice attorneys for consent. But I'm sure there was no effort to try to conceal anything. Surely not. We would love to get your thoughts. Texter here says, money talks, BS walks. Stuff like that goes on all the time. Yes, unfortunately. Contrary to what you heard earlier, people saying, don't quote from AOC. Please, please, please keep the AOC comments coming. I sincerely hope the Democrats continue to put all their eggs in the basket of a buffoon. A buffoon from New York City who wants to do away with cows and airplanes and build a bullet train from New York to London with drawbridges for the ships. Great way to get to Hawaii as well. You know, put that bullet train out there. That's going to work really well. What is wrong with these people? On the college scandal, it is a shame. If they would have claimed, like Elizabeth Warren, they were Native American, they might have gotten in for free. You know, by the way, did you hear what she said? She said she didn't have any sympathy for these families that lied. Now think of the irony of this. This from a woman who declared herself to be a Native American. It's just unbelievable. Coming up, we're going to talk about a really cool movie that is going to be released here very soon. And this movie is going to shed light on the abortion industry. We'll talk about this and much more as we continue our Friday broadcast. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, let's go out to a call from Joe in Charlotte. Good morning.
Well, good morning, sir. It's just something that most people don't understand, but these foundations that set up, and they're set up by rich people. I don't know why it takes that, but they've made sure it does. And and the money you put in, you never pay taxes on. You don't have to pay taxes on it. And they've been meaning to be audited. You know, several politicians have tried to audit them because there's supposed to be money that's supposed to be used for the, you know, public weal, good things. But one time back in the 50s, they tried to audit them. And the Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, you know, the Rockefeller Foundation. And there was this big political storm because they, you know, the super rich had all these politicians in their pocket, and they made sure they weren't audited. So, you know, and people just don't understand, you know, that's how the super rich, a lot of ways, one of the big ways, besides putting it offshore and all the rest of it, they completely avoid taxes. In fact, what was his name? He was a billionaire, Howard Hughes. He set up the Howard Hughes Foundation. Many men have testified because he was trying to avoid taxes. Unfortunately, when he died, all his money, because they didn't find anybody, the will, they didn't validate the will, they put all that money into the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, which is part of that foundation. And supposedly they actually do real work, real medical research that, you know, benefits. But that's, you know, was a pure accident. Just thought I'd mention it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your perspective there, Joe, that, you know, I don't know that I put the Howard Hughes Foundation in the same category with Hillary Clinton's. But I do understand your concern, because there are people who are less than reputable who are looking for ways to hide income and avoid having to pay taxes. Unfortunate it is. I want to tell you about a documentary, a movie that is coming up that you will definitely want to check out. To call this inspirational would be an understatement. At the center of this story is a person named Abby Johnson. Abby Johnson's a former Planned Parenthood director, and she talks about the moment that led her to basically flee her clinic and help nearly 500 workers leave the abortion industry. And as the intro to this program talks about, this is a true story of redemption and transformation. And again, this is a woman who is a director of a Planned Parenthood clinic. But something very shocking took place September 26, 2009. This caused her to run, literally run from the organization, change her views on abortion. And she's one of the nation's most well-known pro-life speakers. Her story is going to be told in the new feature film, Unplanned. I love the way she describes this. I did it to show off God's story. God's story. She worked at Planned Parenthood for 8 years. She has formed a ministry called And Then There Were None, a group that's helped nearly 500 workers leave the abortion industry. Those workers have actually closed 21 abortion facilities because they've worked with state officials. They've worked with health departments to go in and close those facilities because of bad practices, medical negligence, whatever. What you have the opportunity to see is her story. This is kind of ironic. She went to work for Planned Parenthood. She grew up in a pro-life household. She met a representative on her college campus and was drawn in. Said she didn't know anything about this organization. It's kind of naive in what they were actually selling. As you might expect, this is all about positioning this as women's health care, female empowerment. It all sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Because isn't this the propaganda that's put out there? This is about being pro-woman. She knew this was going against everything she was raised to believe, but she joined the organization anyway, worked her way up, becoming one of the youngest clinic directors. Eventually, she came to discover more about Planned Parenthood. And she talks about a traumatic event that pushed her over the edge. I'm not going to be a spoiler here. She basically says, I just remember being shocked. I could not believe I'd allow myself to be so blind to the reality of what was right there. I had eagerly believed the lies of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. Let me strongly encourage you. This is well worth checking out. I've heard good things about this for a while now. And I would encourage you, check out this story. I think it's going to be one that is inspiring. And it's one of those messages that needs to be communicated far and wide. By the way, this is going to be in theaters March 29th. March 29th. That's a couple of weeks from now. So mark your calendars for the opportunity to check this out. It's called Unplanned. So make sure you do not miss it. Excuse me. Now is probably a good time to take a look at the day in history. We can get started anyway. We have four questions for our good friend Lonzo. How are you today, man?
I am awesome.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. You're feeling better and all?
I'm not 100%, but I'm like about 90.
Yes, very good. You sound very good. Beware the Ides of March. Events.
I always sound very good. Go ahead.
Thanks for that correction. Beware the Ides of March. This person was shivved in the Senate House by a gang including Brutus. Marcus
Brute.
Brutus.
Yes.
Very good.
Caesar.
You are correct. It was
friends,
Caesar.
Roman countrymen, we come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. I could go on, but I'm not going to.
Very well done. Very well done. 1493, this famous explorer returned to Spain after his first visit to the Western Hemisphere. Who was it?
Ponce de Leon.
Oh, it's a little more obvious than that. You want to give it a second shot? 1492.
Oh, Christopher Columbus. Mom.
Yes. Came here 1492, returned to Spain 1493. Oh. But it's fine. We have two more questions for you, and we will save those for after the break as we continue our broadcast. Stay with us. Be sure to join WBT as we celebrate John Hancock's Father's Day at our annual pancake breakfast benefiting the Men's Shelter of Charlotte. It's coming up tomorrow, 8 to 10 a.m., Sharon Presbyterian Church, 5201 Sharon Road. Our thanks to Famous Toastery, Garage Door Doctor, and Lake Norman Hyundai for their support. Hope to see you there. Back on the final stretch of the Vince Coakley radio program, we are going through our day in history. And we've covered a couple of questions so far, and there are two remaining. We go to 1937. Cook County Hospital in Chicago opened up the country's very first bank of this type. What is it? Cook County Hospital. That is your important clue.
Yeah, I know.
What kind of bank is it?
Is it a sperm bank?
Not quite. Actually, it's a blood bank.
Oh, okay. Both equally as important, I think.
Depends on who you are.
Or if you need extra cash, that's what I hear.
Anything you want to confess here, Lonzo?
Not me.
Okay, all right. 1956. If you're into this kind of thing, you'll guess it. If not, you know, too bad. This opened on Broadway starring Rex Harrison and Julie Andrews. Harrison also appeared in the movie version made in 1964. What was it called? I think Charles knows this one.
Is it The Music Man?
No.
It's My Fair Lady.
Yes, you got it. It is My Fair Lady. You're right. Very good. I would have never guessed that.
I only know because my mom made me watch it.
I'm so sorry. Has she been investigated by Department of Social Services?
Not recently.
That's cruel and unusual punishment. That really is quite cruel. What's in store for the weekend and your illustrious broadcast?
Well, on the Upstate Pulse, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 106.3 WORD and on the 106.3 WORD app. So if you're in Charlotte, you can listen or you can watch on the Facebook Live app on the Upstate Pulse or 106.3 WORD app. Man, that's hard to do in one breath. We are going to be interviewing a local improv guy who teaches improv downtown, and that should be pretty funny. We're going to continue our action movie bracket and make fun of Chris since he's off on paternity leave.
Ah, okay. Sounds very interesting. Well, very good. Again, that's 7 to 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. And again, if you are not in the listening area for 106.3 WORD, you can watch it on Facebook or radio.com. Lonzo, have a great weekend, man.
You too. By the way, we'll get you on eventually, John. We'll work that out.
Oh, good deal. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, you can be completely geeked out on that show.
And fit right in.
Exactly. All right. Here is something rather interesting. Aggressive drivers. Aggressive drivers. How bad a problem is that here in the Carolinas? Well, we have a list of cities with the worst aggressive drivers. And would you believe Charlotte is high on this list?
What?
I know, that's shocking, isn't it? Get a load of this. Frustrating Fridays. Motorists are 1.2 times more likely to encounter aggressive driving on Friday than on Wednesday. Imagine that. The most aggressive day on the road is Friday. 14% more aggressive driving events occurred compared to the average across the United States. The least aggressive day on the road is Wednesday. Wearing out the brakes. Most frequent aggressive driving habit on weekdays is hard braking, followed by rapid acceleration and speeding. On weekends, the most frequent aggressive driving habit continues to be hard braking. Also, let's just go through this list of cities. They examined the 30 largest metropolitan areas by population and concluded these 15 cities have the most aggressive drivers. Number 15 is Dallas-Fort Worth. 14 is Boston. 13 is Phoenix. 12, Pittsburgh. And coming in at number 11, Charlotte. Does that surprise you at all? Here are some of the other cities in the top 10. Las Vegas at number 10. Austin, Texas, number 9. Detroit is 8. Orlando, 7. San Diego, 6. San Francisco is 5. You know, it seems like the lesson in all of this, I was about to say, the worst driving is in the bigger cities. Atlanta, number 4. Hate driving in that city. I just do not like driving there at all. Here's kind of a surprising one at number 3, Sacramento. That kind of surprises me. I don't understand that one. 2 is Philadelphia. And what do you think is number 1 on the list? The absolute worst place to drive. The most aggressive drivers. Los Angeles. Yeah, I could definitely see that. That does not surprise me at all. Are you guys at all surprised we're number 11 on this list?
Just turn signals, please. Turn signals. How hard is it to reach up there, grab the little lever, pull it up, push it down?
Begging you.
That's complicated for some people.
That would go a long way to solving that problem.
I've got to tell you, my first week here, I remember I was driving up I-77, and I saw someone, you know, generally, you have pretty courteous people, you know, who will let you out when you are trying to merge onto the highway. Well, my first day here, I remember someone was coming off the ramp, and I guess they thought they were going to be let in. Got rear-ended. Just slammed right into the back of them. I know. It freaked me out. I thought, what in the world have I come into? I was kind of wondering there for a bit. Then you just kind of fit in and drive crazy like everybody else. Just kidding. Any case, good to be with you. Have yourselves a great weekend, and God bless you. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.